This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
7 the game up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's get to our main man, Brian Geltzeiler, host on SiriusXM NBA Radio, contributor at NBA TV, and I'll open with a softball. What'd you think of the Warrior game last night, Geltzy?
Holy Steph, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That stuff never gets boring, guys. It really doesn't. Like, if you love the game and you've enjoyed that player for all these years, how can you not love when that happened? Obviously, the Grizzly fans weren't loving it, but any fan of the game has to look at that and feel like, wow, that's incredible. Like, it just, for him to be able to go 12 or 20 from three, you know, almost get a triple-double, like, it really just an unbelievable performance by Steph Curry last night. And really just, it's such a joy to be able to watch, and amazing that at this stage of all of it, 4 titles in 9 years, this is the 10th year of all of it. With all of that, like, to still be able to do that and have this be relevant and have this be a contending team, it's very, very special, guys. And it's something that, you know, as someone that covers the sport and is a huge fan of the game, I never, ever take for granted.
Wow, I love that, BG. Last time we had John, I needed counseling specifically in regard to Steph and the bilateral knee tendonitis, and all of a sudden Jimmy Butler has changed their fortune, and I know there's a lot to be determined. But when you look at the landscape of the West and the possibilities, BG, what word would you use on this Warrior team as they go into the playoffs? And I'm assuming they would get a 7-game series, because I'm dreaming and fantasizing like, you might not want to see him, PG.
No, listen, I don't know that anybody wants to see the Warriors right now. The Warriors, here's where I will issue a little bit of caution. I do have legit Warriors that are the Warriors big enough against some of the bigger teams, i.e. Denver, i.e. Oklahoma City, and Minnesota, really, are the three that I worry about in terms of size. I think the Clippers are very dangerous, but the Clippers aren't overwhelming you with size. As great year as Ivica Zubac has had, and he's been absolutely outstanding this year and is in the mix for most improved player in the league as far as I'm concerned. He's been that amazing. But I do worry about the Warriors against some of these bigger teams. Can they match up well? With all that said, listen, right now they're in line for a 4-5 series against the Lakers, which would be an absolute epic with the way the Lakers are rebuilt. You know, Butler has changed their fortunes in so many ways. They're such a better offensive team, but they're better defensively too. But a night like last night, 12 for 12 from the free throw line. The ability to get to the free throw line and get those easy points was an element that the Warriors were missing, that they just didn't have. They have been, for the most part, since Kevin Durant left, a jump shooting team. And listen, when you have some of the best shooters the league's ever seen in history, you can get away with being a jump shooting team. But as time went on, there was more and more strain on Steph to have to carry all of that. And especially now in the absence of Klay Thompson and having the backcourt partner that at least created a little bit of space for you, Butler is an entirely different element that, frankly, the Warriors haven't had since Durant. And I think it really is been terrific for them. Obviously, the record of 18-5. And by the way, three of those losses were in the absence of either Curry or Butler in that 18-5 series. The Warriors have to be scary for, in spite of what I said about the size, they still have to be scary for anybody in the conference to go up against in a seven-game series.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game, host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, contributor at NBA TV, and quite frankly, one of our favorites here at 95.7 The Game. Let me just ask you a question to let me know if I'll ask the next one. Like, how familiar are you with Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, particularly 2 years ago? Do you watch a lot of that?
Well, very familiar.
Okay.
Yeah, I watch all of it.
Perfect.
I always watch all of it.
Perfect. This is what I want to ask you. We hear all about playoff Jimmy, okay? And I'm looking at the numbers from 2020, you know, when he got him to the finals, Miami. He was taking 21 shots a game in the postseason, okay? I'm looking at his numbers for the Warriors and to a lesser extent when he was with the Heat. Brian, he's taken 11.5 shots per game since he's been a Warrior. So, like, is it that drastic? What happens with Butler in the playoffs? What exactly happens? Do things change dramatically because Jimmy's has the ball way more? And how do you think it looks if they get to the playoffs with Jimmy on the Warriors in that whole aspect?
It won't be 21 shots a game, Matt. It won't be. It won't be because Steph Curry's out there.
Right.
And, you know, you got to remember with the Heat, it was Jimmy's bus. Everybody else was just riding in it. And so, you know, that title run was in the absence of Tyler Hero, who would have been the only other creator that they had. It was not going to be Bam Adebayo. So it was either Jimmy had the ball or the guy that Jimmy wanted to have the ball had the ball. That was it. Here it's going to be different. Either Steph has the ball or the guy that Steph wants to have the ball will have it. And that will be Jimmy Butler on a frequent basis. And I don't think it's going to continue to be 11 shots a game. I think we're going to be more in the 15-16 range when the playoffs begin, because I think when the game slows down and the Warriors are in the half court more, I think you're going to see Butler shine in that setting for them. And that's the version of playoff Jimmy that you will get. With all that said, I don't even think it's the field goal attempts that are going to be the most important thing for the Warriors. I think it's going to be the free throw attempts. And again, I go back to last night, 12-12 from the free throw line. Butler's ability to get to the free throw line is going to be a source of easy points for the Warriors. A source, again, I'll go back to it, they haven't really had it since Kevin Durant left. And I think that is such a key element here. Is Butler, he's an excellent free throw shooter. He's really good at drawing fouls. He's good with up fakes. He's good with ball fakes. He'll back you down. He'll beat you off the bounce. He's a good mid-range player. He goes to the rim strong. And more importantly, when you look to roll doubles to him, he is a good passer. One of the reasons the Warriors' offense has been so incredibly effective is it doesn't have to be complicated now. You put him and Curry on the same side of the court, and they'll figure out an open look between the two of them. Or Butler gets to the free throw line. And that's the other way it works. So really, I kind of look at all of this and feel like couldn't have been a better player at the right time for this Warrior team in terms of how he's fit. It's just been seamless. And the other thing that you can't forget, guys, is that for the value and the quality of the player that Butler is, the trade was an absolute bargain, flat out. I mean, having to give up just this year's first-round pick along with Wiggins, come on. I mean, you look at what he's provided. It's absolutely an unbelievable deal.
Yeah, Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game. Okay, so how about if I put it this way? You know, whatever... You know, playoff Jimmy has earned that nickname because of the things he's done in the postseason. If he's playoff Jimmy for the Warriors, he may be playoff Jimmy, but it won't look like it did in Miami.
Well, it's no. And by the way, it shouldn't look like it looked in Miami.
Right.
Did Miami, and all due respect to Jimmy Butler, who was outstanding, did Miami ever win a title with him? They went to two finals, but they never won a title with him. You don't want it to look like it looked in Miami. Mm-hmm. You want him to be Steph's right-hand man on the offensive end of the floor, and you want him to be Draymond's right-hand man on the defense end of the floor. That's the role that he is in here. He's the number two guy on both ends of the floor. And in Miami, guess what? He was probably the number one guy on both ends of the floor. Maybe Bam Adebayo was a better defensive player at that point. But you don't want it to look like it looked in Miami, because in the end, they didn't have enough to get over the hump. And maybe the Warriors do and maybe the Warriors don't. But Butler has given them their best chance to get Curry and Green another championship. And I think you ride that as long and as far as you can ride it.
BG, this is what I love about sports and life. You never know what the day is going to hold for you, right? And things change. And Draymond Green, I believe, is the heart and soul of this team. Had a triple-double last night, got Defensive Player of the Year for March. Wimby goes down, and now BG, he's the odds-on favorite of Defensive Player of the Year. Have you seen that from Dre, and where are you at? What are you seeing when you watch him on the defensive end?
He's had an awesome year. He's had an incredible year on the defensive end of the floor. He's played great basketball, and one of the reasons they have 44 wins is he's been in the lineup the majority of the time. I mean, people talked about last year with the Warriors, you know, fading out. Well, how many games Draymond missed last year, guys? 30? Right? Between suspensions and injuries? This year he's been on the floor most of the time. And you're seeing how vital he is on both ends, how he makes other guys better. Do I think he's Defensive Player of the Year this year in the league? I don't. I think Defensive Player of the Year is probably Lu Dort when you look at what he's done to perimeter guys and how great his numbers have been and the success OKC has had. I feel like Lu Dort is there, to me, has been the best defensive player in the league. But that's not a disrespect to Draymond Green, who has been absolutely outstanding.
You still there, Kelsey? Uh-oh. May have dropped. All right, we'll get him back.
I hadn't had the Dort. I hadn't heard Dort. He plays D, but you know, it was Mobley with the Lu Dort.
Yeah. Dort with Dyson Daniels. Yeah. He's had a great defensive year.
He said it shouldn't look like Miami, Stoney. I like that.
It won't.
You know?
But like,
that's, for the better, though.
Like he said, like, it can't, like, I don't see how it would be the same.
But I guess what I'm saying to you is the Warriors don't need him to get, you know what I mean? Keep doing what you're doing, maybe a tad bit, a little more pepper. But other than that, we don't need that model. So I mean, it gives me the confidence that it could work.
I think this is who he is. And yeah. I think I really do. And, you know, again, I thought Jimmy Butler played very similar to the way he's played since he got here last night. Mm. I didn't see a greater sense of urgency. I didn't see less of a sense of urgency. I didn't see a noticeable difference in the amount of threes he was taking, the amount of drives he was making. I don't know.
I saw that just with every dribble. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Well, if you saw it when he was dribbling, I can't.
That's amazing.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. I can't argue with that. But
they'll take 27 from him every night. You know.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. You know. I guess. I'd also. We got to find out what happens during a game when Butler like that doesn't get to the line.
Right.
Maybe
those are going to come.
Maybe then that's when he does bump his field goal attempts up there a little bit. But we're Efford and Brian Geltzeiler. Lost a little bit of a connection with him, and we'll get him back.
Yeah.
I know we will. Let me see. I can just pick something out of my list of something to.
What would you recommend I do in this business before we get BG back on Stouty? When it's just. It's a character flaw. I ask a question, but give my answer before the person that I'm at. It ain't about my answer.
No, it is. That's the way you set up your opinion. That's fine. You ask a question of me so that you can give your opinion. It's no different than when I go, let me tell you something.
Oh, man. You're pretty good.
I love it because you get to frame the question exactly how you want to answer it. It's genius.
Oh, boy.
It's flat out genius. Hey,
we got him back.
Okay. Let's head back to the River Islands guest line and welcome back Brian Geltzeiler, NBA, XM NBA radio, and also a contributor at NBA TV. All right, you back, buddy?
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Sweet.
Guys, must got disconnected with you. So, listen, I was talking about how great Dort has been and what Dort has been able to do against the best perimeter players on other teams. The guy's been absolutely unbelievable. And, listen, I'll say this about Draymond, and I'm not disrespecting what Draymond brings defensively because he is as good as there is, and he's had a super year. But I'll also say this. The presence of Jimmy Butler's helped him a lot. Butler being there has given him an extra weapon in front of him. And Draymond deploys it very well, and Jimmy's played great. But some of Draymond taking this to the next level has been because he's had Butler with him. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's okay. With all that said, when I look at Defensive Player of the Year, I do think that Dort has stood out head and shoulders above everybody else. I will say this, okay? Draymond and what he's done lately has put him in probably in my top three. I'm trying to figure out who gets left out. Obviously, Dort's not going to, but in the next two spots on my voting list, I'm trying to figure out who I leave out between Green, Evan Mobley, and Dyson Daniels. That's something I got to take a look at, and I love Daniels, but it could end up being Daniels here. We'll see what happens, but I have Draymond right up there, certainly as one of the three or four best defenders in the league this year.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Let me ask you this, and I'll just form it in the form of a conversation. Last night, the Warriors looked great, tons of optimism, but I am looking at that game, and I'm looking at Draymond, and I'm looking at Steph, and I'm looking at Butler, and they're playing hard, and they play 38, 37, 33 minutes respectively, and I'm looking at just this week, and I'm like, boy, can they do it against the Lakers? Then can they come back the next night and do it against Denver? Houston's up next. So on, so forth. To the playoffs. Game, day off, game, day off. Round one, round two, round three. That's what would scare me as a Warrior fan. Just how long this grind is and the unimagined toll that will come with the games they play from this point on.
It's a fair concern, and part of the issue is, let's face it, how stacked the West is. You don't want to be in the play-in in the West. You don't want to be in a situation where you're one and done or two and done, and you're in trouble there. You want to be out of the play-in and get to a seven-game series. The Warriors right now are only one game in a loss column on being up and being in a play-in tournament, which means every single one of these games matters. So you're playing playoff games right now in the top of April. That's where you're at, and that's a tough road. But that's the road the Warriors have. Here's what I will say that maybe will comfort some Warriors fans in this situation. Kuminga being there, and I know he didn't play last night. I know he's got a pelvic contusion. Should be back relatively soon from that. He's missed plenty of time. He's got some young, fresh legs. That's a guy that you're going to have to ride a little bit here. And when you look at the minutes distribution last night, listen, they played eight. Two of them were Post and Santos coming off the bench. And, you know, Post comes in there to shoot and defend a little bit. They do need, Looney only played 9 minutes, but it was really an eight-man rotation. You know, with Payton out, they need Jonathan Kuminga in the worst way. They have to lengthen this rotation by one. They need him to take some minutes off of everybody's plate, including Butler's, including a little bit of Green's. They can't tax those guys so much. And Kuminga is not the same kind of defensive player that either of those guys are, let's face it. But he's such a good athlete and such a good offensive player. You're just, because it's not only about minutes, guys, it's also about usage. And Kuminga will come in and take some shots. We don't want to worry just about spotting some of Jimmy and Steph's minutes. You want to make sure that the minutes that they do play aren't as labor intensive, that they don't have to try to get their own shots as much. And Kuminga creates space, and he is a guy that can go get his own shot. So I do think the Warriors' fortunes this year, as tight as it all is right now, the Warriors' fortunes are absolutely tied to Kuminga staying in this lineup, fitting in well, which I think we've seen enough of him when he came back from injury this year to believe that he definitely can do that.
Yeah, I'm with you, BG. Let me ask you this one, because you kind of touched on it with the Lakers in Denver, and there's a lot to be determined. We know that, right? But the players, the coaches for the Warriors, BG, will not ever come out and say who they would want. But if you're a part of that organization, who would you want between Denver and the Lakers if you had to pick your poison? Who do you think they match up better against?
The Lakers. And I don't hesitate. Just because, listen, for Denver's a problem. When you have Jokic at 7-1, Gordon at 6-10, and Porter at 6-10 across that front line, that's pretty much, outside of Quentin Post, that's bigger than everybody in the Warriors' rotation. And you got three guys on that front line that way. The Warriors will struggle at the rim. Everybody struggles with Jokic. You saw what he did last night.
Oh.
But the Warriors will struggle at the rim. They will struggle in the paint with Jokic. And ultimately, they're going to have to, listen, most teams that play Denver are going to have to employ the kind of philosophy Minnesota did last night, which is we'll live with Jokic getting 50, or in that case last night getting 61, with the ability to contain other guys around him and with the thought that he's less dangerous as a scorer than he is a passer. With all that said, I don't think you want to court that kind of size. And to me, with the Lakers, listen, the Lakers have been very good since they made the Luka trade. I do think that Luka is not at his peak right now. Some of it's conditioning. Some of it's the fact that it's hard to get your legs underneath you in the right way when you get traded in this kind of way midseason. And I do like this Laker team a lot. They're exciting. They're dynamic. But I also think that as good as they've played defensively, they'll have a lot of trouble containing a team like the Warriors. And I actually think the Warriors and the way they're built will match up with the Lakers much better. I mean, you can guard LeBron and Luka with Draymond and Jimmy Butler, and you don't have to worry about matching up on a big. Like, you can put Post out there and not have to worry about him hurting you in space defensively. Like, that's a big bonus for the Warriors against the Lakers. So just based on the size thing alone, I'd rather see the Lakers than see Denver.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7, the game, Sirius XM NBA host. All right, so right now the Warriors leapfrogged the Memphis Grizzlies. They're in fifth. But as you know, they've got the Lakers tomorrow, Denver on a back-to-back, and then they play Houston on Sunday. Then in their last four games, they still have a game at Phoenix and then one against the Clippers. So it's not an easy home stretch for the Warriors.
Not at all.
So where do you think, knowing Minnesota's schedule, knowing where the Clippers are, knowing Memphis is struggling a little, knowing where Lakers, where would you put your money on the Warriors finishing?
Probably right around six. But listen, it's tough because you look at Minnesota's schedule, all right, after having Denver last night, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Milwaukee with no Lillard or Portis, at Memphis, who we saw that Memphis who played the Warriors tough last night, but Memphis is not good against good competition, then home to the Nets and home to the Jazz.
Wow.
That's a pretty easy schedule. I think you have to figure the Timberwolves get one of those spots. You know, it's a tougher schedule here for the Clippers, who have the Pelicans at home tonight, then the Mavericks twice in a row at home. The Mavericks playing for that last playing spot with Anthony Davis back. The Spurs, the Rockets, at the Kings, at the Warriors. That's a little tougher. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think the Warriors probably settle in six. I think Minnesota, with that schedule, can rise to five. And I think the 6 and 7 is going to come down between the Warriors and the Clippers. Now, again, 7 is not a death knell for anybody. And I say this in this way. If you're 7, you just got to win a game against the 8. And the eight, to me, is likely to be Memphis. And Memphis at this stage, the way they're built, the way they've performed with this change in coach, they're not beating a good team. I have 100% confidence they're not beating a good team. So if it means you got to win one at home to move to the next round, it's not a death knell for the Warriors. Because, listen, I think the Rockets are going to land in the two. And I know you asked me about the Nuggets and the Lakers. I'd rather draw the Rockets than any of them. And I love the Rockets. But I'd rather draw the Rockets than any of them because the Rockets have two issues that make things tough in the playoffs. Number one, they're young. They've never been there before. The lack of experience is going to make things difficult. Number two, who do you go to in a big spot if you're the Rockets, right? Jalen Green's been that guy here. Shengun may be the best player on the team. They have some crazy, 38-17 record with Van Vliet in the lineup. He's very important to them. But my point being, there's no real alpha guy there, which when you have a young team, does become an issue in the playoffs. So to me, if you fall in the seven, it wouldn't be ideal, obviously. Right. But if you fall into the seven and have to play a playing game, afterwards you get the least experienced team in the Western Conference in the Houston Rockets that you would play in the first round. And I do think that the Warriors are capable of beating the Rockets in a first round seven-game series.
Gelsey, you're the best, man.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.